So my topic today is the two whosoevers found in the Bible. And this is a really good thing about how the gospel really is. So the first whosoever gives the bad news, and it's really bad news. And the second whosoever gives the good news, and it's really good news. So first of all, I want to turn for the first whosoever to Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Revelation 20 and verse 11, and it reads, this is in after the end of the millennium, at the end of time, and so it starts, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I want to focus my attention on this passage for the next few minutes. And really, the gospel is good news, but first we need to focus on the bad news. It's like a diamond. And we heard this illustration this morning. It's the diamond shines so much better on a black background. There's a reason why all the jewelers put the diamonds on a black background, not a white one. Because the white one, it doesn't look that impressive. But then when you put it behind the black background, the diamond shines amazing. So really, the gospel is like that. And so really, the gospel is like, God. The people view God as a God of love. And he is a God of love. And it's amazing what he's done in our creation. All the trees and the birds and all the blessings we have, life and breath and all these amazing things. And it's true, he does love us. And he has given us all these amazing things. But what many people miss, and especially in terms of getting to heaven, is God is not just a God of love, although that's true. He's a God of righteousness, and he's a God of holiness. And that's what many people miss, and that's what these verses are outlining for us here. It says, they were judged, every man, every person, according to their works. Not according to all the good deeds that they had done, but all the evil things that they had done. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is the reality. So his holiness is so above our understanding, we can't even comprehend it. God must punish sin, and this is why this reality here, the lake of fire, his holiness demands nothing less. The Bible says these words, now we know that what things soever the law saith, and I just want to go through the Ten Commandments right after this, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so what these verses are saying in the Bible is that the law shows us our sin. The law shows us that we have transgressed, that we have sinned before a holy God, and therefore we deserve to go to the lake of fire. Like, have you ever told a lie? And not just a lie, but have you ever fibbed? Have you ever not said the whole truth? Have you ever exaggerated? Have you ever done all these things? A little white lie, just a small exaggeration. All these different things, and you can say, we can hang our heads in shame and say, yes, we have all lied. And same with all the Ten Commandments. Have we loved the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength? No, none of us have. And we have to be honest about this. Have we ever coveted? Many times. Coveted anything. Coveted another person's house. Coveted another person's car, or coveted this or that, and we can hang our heads in shame and say, yes, we've broken that too. And so we can go down through the list, stealing, committing adultery, looking with lust, all these things, and the Lord Jesus takes it to the extreme. And I was talking about this last time I spoke, how that if you look at someone to lust after them, that's committing adultery with them in your hearts. It's the same wicked heart that produces all these things. So as we can see in this verse, that every mouth may be stopped, that my mouth may be stopped, that everyone in the world's mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. I'm guilty, you're guilty, because the Bible says. It's not me saying it, it's the Bible saying it. Because we are all under sin. And so God's justice demands a payment for our sin. And that's the reality we face. He must send us to hell. He's the perfect judge, and he must send us there. And he doesn't want to send us there. And like I said, he is a God of love. And we'll get to that. And it's amazing. That's amazing truth, how he's a loving God. But he's righteous and holy. Like the judge who sends the criminal to Stony Mountain, he must punish sin. There is no other option for him. What other thing would he do than to punish the Christ rejecter, to punish the one who has sinned before him and broken all these commandments? So we are sinners. God is holy. God must punish sin. And hell is where people are punished for their sins. And myself included, but most people. We don't like talking about hell in a serious way. Like we have all these sayings about out of hell, all these sayings, and we use it so much in our language, but then when it actually comes to the reality of what hell really is, we don't like to think about it. And that's a normal human reaction. Who would want to think about such a horrible place? But the Bible does talk about it. And if we say, how is that fair that God could send people to hell? God's holiness demands it. Or we really lack the appreciation of how holy and how righteous God is. We are sinners through and through. But then it gets much worse, much worse. So it's not like you arrive in hell, pay for your sins, and then get extinguished. That's a nice thought, and some Christians want to believe that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. No. The reality is so terrifying that we can't even get our minds around it. Once you arrive in hell, there's no way out. Ever. Like, ever. Throughout the endless ages of eternity, you will burn with no way of escape. It's the sad reality, but it is the reality, and it is what the Bible teaches. The Lord Jesus even talked about hell as being eternal when he was here on earth. One time when he was teaching, he described hell as the place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He said it three times, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's true. He was warning people of coming judgment. He was saying, repent ye and believe the gospel. He was saying, flee from the wrath to come. And it's true. We all must flee from that, and that's what we deserve. It's our punishment that we deserve. So, but you may ask, how is that loving for God to do? Eternal hell. That is so hard to get your mind around. But the reason hell is eternal, that is, no matter how long anyone suffers there, they can't pay for their own sins. It's like that. It's like the song that says, he paid a debt I did not owe, and we'll get to that, an amazing truth, but I had a debt I could not pay. So it doesn't matter how long you're in hell, no matter how much punishment God pours upon you, you will never be able to extinguish it because you are a sinner. You're a sinner and condemned before God. I'm a sinner condemned before God before I was saved. And that's the amazing thing is we can be saved from this, but we really have to see this reality of that hell is real and that we are going there. Even thinking about how long eternity would be is a thought that is too hard for us to comprehend. We've all heard that illustration, the bird that goes to the Sahara Desert, picks one grain of sand up, flies all the way to Canada, drops it. 1,000 years later, same thing. Over and over, all across the eons of time. And once the whole of Sahara Desert is gone, all the trillions and quadrillions and septillions of them, eternity hasn't even started. This is the reality what we're facing. You can't measure eternity. It just goes on and 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 on. Each of us will die. And whether it's tonight and we need to be prepared to die. But whether even if it's 100 years from now, each of us will die, and we have to face this reality. Do you know where you will be the moment when you die? Hell is real, and if you're not saved, you're on your way there. I was on my way there before I got saved. I was dead in my sins, lost in my sins, headed for hell, and I deserved it. And that's the key. You have to understand that you deserve hell. Because if you don't understand that, you can never be saved. You have to understand your rotten, wicked heart, my rotten, wicked heart. And I realized that for the first time on July 11th of 2017, I realized I'm lost. I cannot do anything to save myself. I'm broken, I'm lost, I'm helpless before God. Months of trying to believe, months of trying to merit heaven by my own strengths, and I realize it's not working, and I'm doomed. And that's when I realized that Jesus died for me. And so, this is really serious here. Revelation, let's read it one more time. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is so serious. This is the only thing that really matters. The only thing that matters in life. It doesn't matter the car you get, though it would be great to have a nice car, or the house you get, though it would be great to have a nice house. All these things are so transient. Like, you see all these billionaires. You read on the news, this billionaire died at 55. And you're just thinking, like, was it all worth it? What was your life for? What was the point? And we'll all get to that point, whether it's on our deathbed or later on, it'll be like, what really is the point of life? And we need to get this fixed before we die. Where will we be? Because it's eternity we're talking about. It's not just what ice cream flavor we're going to have. It's eternity. The horror of even one person here going to hell, and it's very possible, but that would be a horrible thing. And we just really plead and pray that that's not the case. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, if the meeting were to end there, it wouldn't really be a gospel meeting. If it was just, and it's completely righteous for, it would have been completely righteous for God to not have sent the Lord Jesus and to leave us dead in our sins and headed for hell. That would have been completely righteous. But that would have been a good news. That would have been the point of this meeting. But there's hope. There's hope. And so that's the amazing truth of the gospel. Now that we've established what we are in our sins, what we are lost and far from God, now we can see that God did something about it. He saw us down in our lost condition, in our wretchedness, in our wretched estate, and he loved us. The amazing truth of that, how he could love such ones as us, is amazing. And it's not like the animals don't know about God, and they don't shake their fists at him, but us humans do. So around the world, we all shake our fists at him, and he still loved us, and he still came, and he went, and he sent the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. So he didn't want to send us to hell. He had no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and he really didn't want to, but he has to punish us. So what is the solution? How can he stay righteous? How can he stay a righteous, holy God that must punish sin while also sparing us from the penalty we deserve and granting us eternal life? And it seems like a quandary that we can't solve. Like, the judge, you have to punish the crime. As much as you love the criminal, you have to punish the crime. So what's the solution? But God sent his son. And that was the solution. And let's turn to John 3:16 for the second whosoever. John 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So this is an amazing truth. Salvation from sin, salvation from hell, salvation from all these vices and from all the hopelessness of our world is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. How? How, you may ask? How? God still has to punish sin. This is the core of the gospel. This is what the gospel really means. That though we were sinners, Christ died for us. Though we were wretches, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus Christ came down, God's perfect holy Son, and he went to the cross and he bore the punishment that I deserved, that you deserved. He bore it on that cross. He was our substitute. The Bible describes it in many different ways. One verse describes it like this: For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just one, the Lord Jesus, for us the unjust ones, that he might bring us to God. Another one, it says, But now once at the end of the age, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Another says, So Christ was once offered, notice once, to bear the sins of many. Another says, But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, no more to be done, sat down at the right hand of God. And each of these verses I just quoted emphasize that it's a one-time event. The Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, and he paid the penalty for our sin, and he did it once. And he completely satisfied God. So God had this sin that he must judge. God saw our sin, and he must judge it. So what is the solution? He lays it on the Lord Jesus Christ. He lays it on that perfect man, the one who never sinned, so that we could go free. But so talking about that, it's not what man did to him. It's not the cruel whip that went into his side. It's not the crown of thorns they placed on his head. As horrible and as evil as all that was. And it shows man's wicked heart. But as evil and as terrible as that was, that's not what atoned for our sin. That's not what satisfied God. It was what God did to him. It's what the God putting that punishment that we deserved to pay in hell on him. And after those three dark hours where God punished the Lord Jesus, he cried, "It is finished. The work was done." And God was fully satisfied. And that's really why hell is forever, because we couldn't pay for our sins, but the Lord Jesus, since he was sinless, had no sin, no spot, no speck of sin in him, he could therefore pay for our sins. That song I was quoting, I needed someone to wash my sins away. Beautiful, beautiful thing. He paid a debt he did not owe. He paid that debt that I owed. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away, and he did it. He did it all for me and all for you. So the beautiful truth. And he was buried. On the third day, he rose again, and he's waiting for you to come to him for salvation. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I took this to heart, realizing how lost I was on that day, July 11. And I just was like, I'm done. I cannot do this anymore. And so I just trusted the Lord Jesus to save me. And it's really that simple. You have to come to the end of yourself. Like the illustration, the life preserver. You're struggling in an ocean. And you're about to drown. You can't take it anymore. And you're trying to save yourself, and you can't. You're just splashing around. You go under, and you're gulping up seawater and salt water. And you have to come to a point to say, "I'm done. I cannot save myself." And then when that boat comes, and the person throws you this life preserver, you don't say, "No, I'm going to do it myself." And you keep on thrashing, and you keep on working and gritting your teeth and trying to rescue yourself. It's not going to work because you're dead. You're almost dead. You're about to die. You have to say, "I'm done. I cannot do it all. Do it by myself." And just grab hold in that life's preserver, and be saved. Right. And that's really the beautiful thing about the gospel, is that God is offering you a gift tonight. He's offering this free salvation that you can just receive. You can accept it. You can say, it's not of works. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So when he offers you this gift, you can't say, oh, I'll pay you for it. Because the Bible also says, to God, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So there's nothing we can do. It's like, and I've used this illustration before, it's like trying to bribe the judge with your good deeds. It doesn't work. You have to just realize that I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell, Jesus, save me. Forgive me and cleanse me and take me to yourself. And it's an amazing truth. So trust Christ. He'll save you from eternal fire, and it's the reality. But he can save you from that because of the work that he did. And he can give you a new heart. The Bible talks about many times about the seriousness of getting right with God. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Not next year, not in a decade, not your deathbed, but now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Another verse says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. This decision is really the most important decision you can ever make in your life. Not can I get my permanent residency, as great as that is. Not I'm going to marry this person, as amazing as that will be. Not buying a new house or doing all these other things. Great, important things in life, but they all drop to insignificance. Well, not even drop to insignificance. They just completely fall off the table. This is your eternal soul. This is your where you will be forever and ever and ever. And it may seem hard to think of right now when life is all nice and death seems 100 years away, but it will come. And the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. But then it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. So just trust him tonight. He loved you, and he gave himself for you. Let's pray.